We have the pleasure of Cathal Walsh's company again this week. How are you doing, Cathal?
Hello, Howard. Yes, very good to be back again. I'm keeping very well, thank you. Enjoying the beginning of summer here in Spain. What about yourself? How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much. Last week, if you weren't listening, he gave us advice on how to make sure our money lasts as long as we do. And it's occurred to me that downsizing property may be one way to generate more savings, which in turn generate income for our retirement. In any case, some people find their property gets too large to cope with when they get older. So let's explore those issues today, Cathal, particularly the financial angles. So first of all, what are the potential financial advantages and disadvantages of keeping your larger home?
Well, I would say it depends on lifestyle factors initially. For example, if you have a large family, if you have children, or if you're retired and you have grandchildren or other family who come and visit you, this could be a valid reason to retain a larger property. However, from a financial perspective for retired people, there are many more cons than pros, in my opinion, for keeping a large property. There are various factors that will have an impact on this, such as one being tax. So on buying a larger property, you'll have stamp duty and transfer taxes on purchase, which could be as high as 10% in Spain. You'll have annual property taxes. You could have income tax if you wish to rent out the property, and also potentially capital gains tax issues should you wish to sell the property. You also then have maintenance costs, upkeep, land maintenance and gardening, and general running, repair and renovation costs, as well as insurance and utilities. So there's often a lot of work, energy and cost that goes into maintaining a larger property. You also have liquidity implication. So on having a lot of your wealth in a property, it is highly illiquid and you cannot access the capital without needing to sell the property outright, which there can be a lot of friction and costs to do so, estate agent fees. It could take you several months or years or so to actually sell the property. So liquidity is a big factor. And finally, income. You may not be able to rent out the property. There could be laws and rules in your country of residence, such as Spain. We have a lot of laws against renting out properties for the likes of holiday lets. You also have issues with renting it out long term with people who don't pay rent. They have a lot of rights here in Spain. And ultimately, if you have your property rented out, you'll be subject to the vagaries of being a landlord. And of course, even if you do have rental income, it's not guaranteed, nor is it flexible. So I think all these considerations are very, very important in terms of holding and retaining a larger property.
What are the benefits in moving some of your wealth from property to investments like equities and bonds?
Yes, a very good question. And it relates to the answer I gave you on some of the downsides of having a larger property. So some of the answers are inverted, in fact. So having a balanced portion of your family wealth in a managed portfolio, such as equity and bonds, would ensure accessibility to your capital any time that you need it, being liquid. You'll have far greater tax efficiency if you use a compliant tax advantaged investment plan in your country of residence. You'll have the ability to set up a flexible, regular, sustainable income that can be tailored to your spending needs at retirement. There are significant estate planning benefits as well. An investment plan can generally pass down to your heirs much more simply, in a timely manner, and with less tax implications. And then finally, which people may not realize, is that you could potentially get better net returns by holding a balanced portfolio with equities, etc., than actually holding a property. And so these are some of the advantages of holding a managed portfolio, perhaps together with holding a property. So I think, as I mentioned, a balanced approach between the two asset classes is very important.
So overall, what is your advice to someone who's wondering if they would be better off moving to a smaller property? How do they go about weighing up the pros and the cons and investing the proceeds to suit their needs?
Yes, as I touched upon in my previous point, I mean, having a property, it's very difficult to shelter the property from ongoing taxation. You'll have tax on the way in when you purchase the property, which could be as high as 10%. If you have a holiday property in Spain, for example, even if you don't rent it out, you get charged a kind of notional rental tax. If you do rent it out, the income will be taxed as general income, so usually at the higher rates. When it comes to selling a property, you will pay capital gains tax on any profits you've made. And there are other things like property taxes and also wealth taxes in a country like Spain. And it's quite difficult to mitigate a lot of these taxes because the property is physically held in Spain. Whereas on the other hand, there are very tax efficient alternatives to holding property, such as I mentioned, qualifying or tax compliant investment plans, where you can have the investment grow on a tax-free deferred basis. And when you actually take an income from the plan, the tax rate is a fraction of what you'd pay on rental income from a property. And then finally, you have inheritance tax and succession tax implications, because if a property is held in, say, the UK, it will always be subject to UK inheritance tax. And if it's held in Spain, you will always have it go through Spanish probate and the potential for Spanish succession tax. Whereas an investment portfolio can generally be held in a more tax-neutral country, and you can mitigate a lot of the estate taxes with that.
And are there any tax implications to owning a high-value property, or more than one property? Could downsizing property prove to be more tax-efficient for yourself and also your heirs?
Yes, very good question, Howard. In my view, with today's increased life expectancy, you may need your existing wealth to stretch to 10, 20, perhaps 30 plus years into retirement. Are your pension savings and investments on track to sustain the lifestyle you want for as long as you need? Are they structured to protect you from long-term inflation and provide the increased income you may need in the future as the cost of living rises? Many people find themselves in an asset-rich, cash-poor situation, owning considerable physical wealth such as property, but with substantially less disposable income or liquidity available. Expatriates in particular tend to hold on to UK property in addition to their Spanish home. So while property can be a solid investment, especially in your younger years where you can, you know, employ the likes of a mortgage to provide growth over the longer term, it does lock your money away in a highly illiquid way. And if you want access to capital, you may not be able to sell the property easily, nor for the right price. Also, there is a risk of tying your funds up in just one asset class. And if the value of the property drops, so does your investment. So it's not optimally diversified. And so overall, as I mentioned, I believe a balanced approach to both property and liquid, accessible investments is the best approach for long-term success at retirement.
Always a pleasure. The Brevins Franks website is a great source of information.
Yes, please have a look on our website, blevinsfranks.com. There's lots of useful information there. You can find our guides, podcasts, books, etc. And also in the country where you're looking to move to, do get in touch with our local team there, and we'd be very happy to have a conversation, a complimentary chat to see if we can assist.
I'll look forward to chatting in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much, Howard.